My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
I'm here. Here am I am.
The year is 1984. And we walk into a movie theater. Oh, there's a new scary movie out. Who knows? You know, maybe this is going to be the next big thing, or maybe it's going to be another what's a bad slasher movie?
I heard it's
movie.
Gory.
Is this going to be a Friday the 13th, or is it going to be The Burning? Which is it?
Ooh,
I like The Burning.
I did.
And we go in, and we're like, okay, yeah, there's some teenagers. You know, they're a little creeped out. Mm-hmm. They're having some nightmares. Oh, this is the first kill. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, something crazy is happening here. Who is this Freddy guy? I wonder if he'll become a cultural phenomenon. We are doing a retro episode on A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I appreciate how you say A Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's the title.
That's the title. I know. Good for you.
And I just read on IMDb.
He's the film critic, so.
IMDb trivia says the words Elm Street were never said in this film.
Nope.
It was just a metaphorical Elm Street.
I believe there was a sign.
Been a street sign.
Hey, this is just the cold open.
Fun facts about street signs this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. The guys would love it if you would subscribe to them, give them a rating and a review. If you like the episode, please just share it. It's super easy. Your kids can show you how to do it. And you can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie, where I interview musicians, comics, just anybody who entertains me. And I tackle a different topic every episode. So come laugh at us as we laugh at ourselves.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
It is Friday, October 27th, 2017, thus concluding our three-week Halloween arc.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, we love Halloween and horror movies, and here we are.
We are never going to do this for Christmas.
No.
We are never going to do one week where we have a tournament of the best movie Santas and then do a live report from Santa's Holiday Village.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
That would be a good countdown. Best Christmas movies that aren't really about the magic of Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
Die Hard.
Of course.
Gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
Some good Love Actually.
Some good Christmas movies.
What else? What else happens? No, I don't care. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our...
F Christmas.
I know. Go listen to our Horror Villain Deathmatch Tournament. A controversial result there.
Yeah, well, that was your fault. But I thought it was fascinating, and it was a great twist.
And
as a horror fan, Sean, I thought it was a good bracket.
It was
exciting to talk about.
I appreciate that. I think I came up with a good bracket. Mike, I won't spoil the whole results, but this is what somebody said to me, and I want to know if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that episode. Scott Simmons is on there. That was a lot of fun. But you know, I was pitching this to some. You know who I was talking to was our friend Byron Winton.
Oh yeah, the artist.
The artist who did the great,
incredible horror artist. Yeah,
horror poster. I saw him.
All of the horror icons in a movie theater. If you ever seen that poster, that's Byron Winton.
We chatted. Mary Beth and I chatted with him briefly at Living Dead Weekend.
Oh, nice.
Immediately.
Still always booked.
He's always there.
I'm always out of town during Living Dead Weekend in Pittsburgh.
Mary Beth got her picture with Russ Striner, who
met him.
You may know as the guy from the first scene. In Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Still wearing the same glasses. He knows what his brand is.
I love it.
Yeah. And he was a sweetheart, by the way. If you're at a horror a convention and you see him, go talk to him. He'll enjoy. He'll do the line for you.
Oh.
You know what he wrote on her she bought, an 8x10 and got it signed. He says, "They're coming to get you, Mary Beth, your pal, Russ Striner."
Love it.
How great is that?
What a classy guy.
He's so nice.
Well, he's been signing autographs for 45 years.
Yeah, so that's been his main thing for a while now.
So he knows what they like.
But I was talking to Byron, and I said, well, yeah, you know, and then the thing became a powerhouse in the tournament because, you know, it kept gaining the powers of the people it defeated. And he was like, the thing doesn't gain powers. The thing can disguise itself, but it doesn't assume the abilities of other creatures.
I mean,
but yeah, we decided something that we made up.
But I mean, let me, if Byron Winton is listening.
Yeah. Hi, Byron.
What about when the thing was living inside of a wolf? I mean, you now have the powers of a wolf.
Right. But
I mean, you're a wolf now.
If I think, spoiler for round one, if the thing gets Hannibal Lecter, it doesn't gain the mind and the intellect of Hannibal Lecter. It just gains the powers of a guy shaped like Hannibal Lecter. That's Byron's point, and I think that's right.
I don't know, because I think if he's in the doctor, he was as smart as the doctor.
No, you could be right. But when it transfers, we posited that it can keep gaining and evolving. If he leaves the doctor and goes into the wolf, he's not a wolf that can perform surgery. Right?
I mean, it's kind of fun that way.
Yeah, it was.
It was a lot of fun.
Go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Go back last week and listen to our episode on the Scare House. Lots of special guests from the Scare House crew.
And you can also check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business, if you haven't. Last week, I took my my dad friend to the Scare House for the first time. Second haunted house his entire life. And then this week, we talk about Halloween costumes.
Oh, that's nice.
Our costumes, our children's costumes, and we find out that Jason and I have even more in common, that we're super crafty.
Oh, really?
But in different ways about Halloween. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, a little tease.
Can you tell us what the Kleiber children are dressing up as this year?
Since
it is the Halloween episode?
It is very exciting. Guys, drum roll, please. Film nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, my kids decide on a theme. I don't know where it came from. They started off as Harley Quinn, Joker, and Batgirl. And, of course, it was Cesar Romero, Joker, so back off. In animated series, Harley Quinn.
Uh-huh.
So, because we're amazing parents.
Yeah.
Last year, it was Return of the Jedi.
I'm not going to dress your seven-year-old up like Suicide Squad Harley Quinn, like some parents out there.
I can't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Last year was Return of the Jedi, like exclusively.
Right.
So, of course, the baby is Wicket the Ewok.
Sure.
That's where you just take a bear costume and put an orange hood on.
Now you're an Ewok.
My son, of course, was Luke Skywalker in all black.
Right.
Black glove, everything in his hair.
Is he named after Luke Skywalker?
A little bit? Whatever. Or he's named after a doctor who followed Jesus, but whatever.
Okay. You and Wendy have different origin stories for the name.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like
Rashomon.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Well, if you go and check out my Instagram from a year ago, Luke's hair was perfect.
Yeah.
It was Luke Skywalker's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter was General Leia.
Oh, that's great.
she was like, oh, no, I'm General Leia.
Yeah.
And I made her the medallions and everything. And
oh, that's nice.
Go listen to that podcast. We can talk more about that. Uh-huh. A nightmare
on Elm Street. By the way, I have no children, so I can only talk about my own Halloween costume.
No, you had some good ones. Last year, you were...
Last year, I was Dustin from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it was good.
And this year, that costume, that exact shirt and hat that I got on Etsy for like $60, is in every spirit. This year, they're the hot costumes.
Yeah, of course.
Last year, I was ahead of the curve. Just saying.
Sean, you're a film nerd, a film critic, and a comedian.
Yeah.
Your brain is overload creative.
Are
you surprised?
This year I'm just like all men in relationships should do come Halloween, do what your girlfriend says. She has an adorable idea, go with it.
It's fun.
So I am Jughead of Archie fame.
Oh.
I'm Jughead and she's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Not Melissa Joan Hart, but like from the comic Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
You guys are dorkily adorable.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're dork-orable.
That's almost dorkable.
Adorkable.
Which is...
is that a thing?
That's the word from that Zooey Deschanel show.
I didn't know that, but
yeah.
I kind of just
But you made it up again.
Adorkable is adorable.
You know what we did yesterday? You want to hear an adorable couple story?
All right.
Is, you know, now there are, we collect the figures, you're aware of that. And
yes.
You're very aware. And now there's the.
Yes, I know what you what I would do without my children now, using all my money.
Now there's, I have all three main Shining ones now. It's great.
Oh, dude.
And, now there are Stranger Things mystery figures, you know, the little ones that you, it's a blind box, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we both went into the store and bought the blind box.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened?
Hmm.
She opened hers and it was 11, and I opened mine and it was Mike. Isn't that cute? Isn't
Isn't
that adorable? Couple times. Stranger Things, by the way, today, that's what I'm doing as you listen to this episode.
Well, right now I'm performing at Junior's Last Laugh in Erie.
Yes.
And when I'm not doing that, I'm binging Stranger Things.
That's
what's happening this weekend.
You know, the thing that made me the happiest is still a 9-episode season. I didn't realize that.
Wow.
First season was 8, this one's 9. I was sure they were going to be like, oh, we're a thing now, we're going to have 13. No, they're like, oh, we know how to do this, we're doing 9.
I love it.
It's going to be great. We're here to talk about A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh.
Oh, wait, we're not.
I never even answered your question.
What was your question?
This year, my kids' costumes.
Oh, yeah, that's the question.
You want to hear something adorkable?
Yeah.
My kids started talking about horror movies, and I have been collecting old horror comic books.
Uh-huh.
And so I have some old, you know, Dracula, some Bela Lugosi's,
yeah.
You know, House of Secrets, stuff like that. But I'm also starting to collect a little bit of Universal Monster art.
Uh-huh.
And I showed my kids some old horror movies, like just select scenes. You can find them on YouTube.
Right.
Dracula, Wolfman, Bride of Frankenstein. They're fascinated.
Ah,
they
sure.
love it.
That happened to me about that age, about Becca's age.
Me too. Me
I
too.
Was, I remember looking
about
in
9 or 10.
I remember
yep.
looking in TV Guide, which was a book you got in the mail to learn
You're
what
right.
was on
my
the television.
Had it. Yep.
And I would look for the old Universal
they
Monster
movies. They
would
show all of those. I would watch them too.
Like TNT and
yep.
TBS, WGN,
yep.
late
yep.
at night.
Yep. But my kids want to be the monsters.
That's awesome.
And so Becca, the professor, she wants to be Dracula.
Oh, that's
so she
great.
Will be a Dracula, not a sexy vampire,
right?
Not a Dracula's wenches behind him in
yep.
white nightgowns. No, she has the medallion
mm-hmm.
and the boots and mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah,
and she is gonna look good.
Yeah,
and we got everything from thrift stores, and I built.
Oh, that's
the,
great.
Oh, the oh, come on, we sewed the vest in and
Luke's the wolf man.
You betcha.
I predicted it.
Let's get adorkable. I was building a wolf mask by hand.
Oh, that's
this,
great.
This evening, and the baby,
little
says,
Frankenstein.
I'm a mama.
She's
a little mommy, Sean. She
oh,
said,
that's
"I'm
so
a
great.
Mama."
That's
and,
so great.
And Wendy and I are going to. I'm going to paint my face green and put bolts in my neck, and
mm-hmm.
She's going to put bolts in her neck and put her hair up in a bun.
That's great,
like Marge Simpson. We're going to
yeah.
be a Universal Monster family. So,
look at that
little extra butter right in the top there.
Stay tuned on Instagram. You can follow
hey
Aaron Kleiber on Instagram at
Aaron Kleiber.
Aaron Kleiber,
yeah.
KLEIBER.
Yeah. It's in the description.
To see these photos come next
we love
Tuesday.
It. And I love
yeah.
that they choose. I'm like, oh my gosh. Because, you know, some parents, we've talked about this, they push their kids into nerddom.
Right.
And it's like, relax.
No,
okay?
they told you what.
It's amazing.
I admire that because when I was a kid, I always thought I was going to have a good costume and then went to a Halloween store and just bought the grossest rubber monster mask. And I was like, oh, and then I'll get the hands and it'll be, you know.
Well, without spoiling this week's Grown Dead Business podcast, I was Jason Voorhees for like 9 years.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with Jason Voorhees. I've owned probably about 20 or 30 different hockey masks.
But Aaron,
what?
We're not here to talk about Friday the 13th.
I wish we were. It's my fave.
13 minutes into the podcast. We're here to talk about A Nightmare on
That's
Elm Street.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. We did extra
People
butter up
like
front.
Us. You guys like us,
yeah.
right?
Hey, this was my favorite of the classic franchises growing up.
Hmm.
You might say I liked Scream a lot, but that's obviously. And by the way, speaking of Scream, I just watched Scream again maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating to watch that and Nightmare on Elm Street to see how much Wes Craven
oh,
was
yeah.
deconstructing himself.
That's interesting.
How many things that happen in Nightmare on Elm Street are referenced in Scream. But anyway, I always, you know, was more attached to the Nightmare movies growing up. I like a villain who can talk and who there's a little bit...
Yeah, that's interesting.
A little bit more character to than just the... You know, when you get right down to it, there's not a lot... I'm going to say something a little controversial here.
Okay.
Character-wise, there are not very many differences between Jason, Michael Myers, and Leatherface. I mean, you can talk about it. As horror nerds, we can talk about it.
Are you talking about them or their victims? What do you?
I'm talking about them. The way they act.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we can talk about the way those franchises are different.
Right.
But in terms of what, you know, what's going to happen when one of those three shows up, it's basically the same. Freddy always felt different to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that comes from a pretty weird place, too. I mean, Wes Craven has done some wild things.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he's a little bit of a weirdo.
Yes.
I mean, some of the stuff that he's directed, I mean, dude, he started out with Last House on the Left,
mm-hmm.
which was, I mean, it's pretty brutal, you know? So he's got a little weirdness to them. And think about the campiness of, like, one of my favorites. I mean, we can go through Wes Craven real quick. I mean, I think he definitely is one of the best horror creators of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, People Under the Stairs is weird and campy and, like, you know, twisted. I mean, Hills Have Eyes in 1977. We'll skip that one. 1982, Swamp Thing. 1984, The Hills Have Eyes Part 2 and A Nightmare on Elm Street in the same year. And then he did a bunch of episodes of The Twilight Zone. And then, has Sean seen it? 1988, The Serpent and the Rainbow.
I have not.
Considered one of the scariest movies of all time. Very weird voodoo in Haiti. It's Bill Pullman spectacular in it. Then he made this really campy movie called The Shocker. Shocker. Yeah, it's I loved it when I was 11. It's really bad. But People Under the Stairs in 91 was amazing.
We're going to go see that. That's playing at Regent Square Theater this weekend.
Oh,
if you're
so
in
good.
The Pittsburgh area, we're going to go see that in a couple days.
I love how it's so 1991.
And two performers pulled directly from Twin Peaks.
Oh, absolutely.
The main characters are Ed and Nadine from Twin Peaks.
That's correct.
Yeah, cast together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I'm just running through in case you guys don't know, in case you're not following along on the IMDb's.
Mm-hmm.
1994, he finally did New Nightmare.
Right.
Which is Heather Langenkamp, right?
Yeah.
As the actress, which it was meh. It was meh. And then...
I want to watch it again. When I watched that in my teenage years, I was like, what's this? This is dumb. But a lot of people say, oh, that's the best one.
Well, I'll watch it again, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll watch it again. Well, 96 this. With Scream. I mean, Scream is considered one of the best horror movies.
Oh, it's great.
It's a great for its time horror movie.
It's
very poppy. I mean, it's perfect for 1996.
I just watched it again. It's perfect on three levels.
I forgot that he directed all three Screams.
It is a very good horror movie.
And then Music of the Heart in the middle.
Yeah. It is a very good horror movie. It's a very good comedy. And it's a very good deconstruction of the slasher genre. And
yeah,
it's doing
I
all
think
of
right.
those things.
And you know, I always saw it as one of the only horror directors who succeeded in creating that teen slasher movie and updating it from the 80s to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I've ever seen that done well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he updated that. It's the same formula, you know what I mean? With a with a little twist.
Yeah.
And he did it spectacular. And then he went on, and, you know, there's I mean, really, the last thing he did was Scream 4. That's the last thing he directed.
He did that. There were a couple, like, okay ones in the, what was it called? Before I Wake, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the name of it? That was like maybe 2010.
My Soul to Take.
My Soul to Take.
Yeah.
I was close. Which was okay.
Yeah.
It was fine. But just on the strength of, you know, what you named there, yes, this is a guy that, you know, goes alongside John Carpenter.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
Who else would you put there in terms of pure horror directors?
Maybe Tobe Hooper.
He's got two. One
yeah,
of
he's
which
got a
was
couple.
Really Steven Spielberg.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and then Wes Craven just kind of fell off, and I don't know if he got sick the last like 3 or 4 years of his life, and then he passed away in 2015.
Yeah, yeah, that was a shame.
But going back to the cold open,
yes,
and you said, you know, Sean painted the picture so elegantly, like a writer.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. Look at all these things you're so good at we're talking about today.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Doing
But you know what? I never liked Freddy.
Okay.
And I just was like, man, he's corny. And maybe I just don't remember. I remember seeing this movie.
Right.
When I was in middle school. And maybe it was too, I don't know why I didn't like it. Maybe because Freddy talked and he was campy. And you liked
your killers, the strong silent type, so to speak.
I liked it more menacing, maybe.
Yeah.
But now, I like you said, I came into this thinking, it's 1994.
84.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 1984. You know, I'm 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, this has never been seen before. And going in right away, the first thing Sean brought up, the first kill. Holy shit.
Absolutely unbelievable. And especially where we had kind of been accustomed to, you know, you think about Halloween, the first kill is some stabbing motions. Or Friday the 13th. Yeah. It gets to some good ones, but the first one is a little tame. This is...
Yeah, you don't really get crazy in Halloween till maybe sticks the dude on the refrigerator.
Big special effects and fantasy horror.
Every kill was a huge special effect and like completely original kill.
Right. And that's I think I really attached to it because it was so much more inventive, not just in the murders, but in a lot of the little details.
Yeah, I kept turning to you and kept thinking, like, I get it. I get why this was so huge.
Well,
and why he's considered after this a genius.
Well, and you know, I love David Lynch, and I really like movies that feel a little dreamlike.
Yeah, you will love the Serpent in the Rainbow.
Yeah, I should probably watch that. Yeah, that'd be good. But I hadn't seen Nightmare on the original in a while, and this is the first time we've seen it in the theater.
Yeah,
and just a couple of thoughts. I never noticed how good the music is. The music is fantastic.
It's good. I think it's hit or miss for some parts.
Oh, I liked it because
where it gets really like it sounds like TV movie like chase music.
I think that's because the TV movie. I think that's because the TV movie chase music you grew up with was ripping this off.
You're probably right.
You know what I thought right away? I was like, this is this music is Blade Runner plus Halloween.
Yeah, that's a great great call. You're right. A little bit of
synthy Vangelis.
You're not wrong.
With those like little piano themes on top of it.
You're not wrong.
I like that a lot. Don't forget, non-horror people, that this movie has and introducing Johnny Depp in the opening credits.
Yeah, if you don't know that, you got to watch it just for watch him get killed.
Johnny Depp's first film. He was very good. Amanda Wiss, who played Tina, was good.
Yeah.
Heather Langenkamp. By the way, speaking of the IMDb trivia, which, you know, anything as iconic as A Nightmare on Elm Street, if you're a horror fan, go download the IMDb app and start pouring over trivia pages.
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing.
You have to.
Heather Langenkamp beat over 200 actresses for the role, mm-hmm. among them Jennifer Grey, Demi Moore, Courtney Cox, and Tracy Gold.
Yeah.
So, this was a big thing. And, you know, she's okay. She's really good when she's tired and exhausted and running.
You're right. She gets better at the second half of the film.
When she's just, like, acting like a human teenager, she can't do it.
Yeah, she's,
and when she has
she's trying too hard.
When she has the Lifetime moments with her mom, who was also not very good.
I have her up already.
Okay.
Because she is a treat.
Yeah.
Ronnie Blakely, probably.
Uh-huh.
Well, before this, I'm looking into it. She was like mostly a TV actor. She was like guest starring on, you know, Beyond Westworld, by the way. Oh yeah.
Interesting.
The Love Boat, you know, very Vegas. She was in the old Vegas and
But what I didn't realize, she's an Oscar nominee.
Yeah.
For Nashville.
Yeah,
she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Nashville, the Robert Altman movie.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and that was in 1975. So you know, 9 years later, I mean, she was just—it really didn't transfer. It really
no.
It seemed like that she was a one and done.
Well, and, you know,
because doing all these TV spots.
Robert Altman was, he passed away. Yeah, he passed away a while ago. He was an actor who got a lot out of his performers. If you don't believe me, go back and watch.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's a great point.
I think his last
movie. Now we're getting film nerdy.
Yeah, his last movie was A Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not a documentary. It was a fictionalized movie around that, the Garrison Keillor show.
Right, yeah.
Go back and watch Lindsay Lohan in Prairie Home Companion. She's really good. And that is the only time she was ever really good. He could get a lot out of her.
That's interesting you say that because, I mean, after A Nightmare on Elm Street, which she was a complete, I mean, I turned to Sean and was like, this week on As the World Turns.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she was very overacting soap opera.
Yeah.
And after Elm Street, I mean, she went right back to TV guest spots.
Yeah.
And like B movies.
Yeah. There was some bad, John Saxon.
Altman sucked her dry.
Yeah. John Saxon, who you're going to recognize.
Love that dude.
He's really good.
He's the white guy in Enter the Dragon.
I didn't realize that until just now.
Oh, he's a badass dude. Remember he's the Caucasian man.
Yes.
Who's in Enter the Dragon. He's
that's
a bad dude.
That's true. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. He's a tough-ass dude.
He was good. The cast is very hit or miss. Who's the other kid? The other boy is Rod.
Oh, yeah, the cool guy.
Played by... I don't even know.
Jesus.
His first name is spelled J-S-U,
probably
Garcia.
Jesus Garcia.
He is terrible. Some of the scenes where he's talking to...
He's like, hey, I'm just a suburban kid, but I grew up in Yonkers.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are you?
Let's talk about my dick some more.
Yeah,
like what?
He's like, anybody want some of this meat salad? Or he didn't say that, but... But yeah, he really was like just got off the set of West Side Story.
Some of the scenes with him and Nancy are painful. It's like, oh my.
And also.
Rehearsal for the high school production of The Crucible is at 4:30.
Super sexual predator.
Yeah.
Like it, to a point where her friend is like, please guys stay here because I don't want to be alone with this guy.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, she bangs him, but like she still needed a level of.
Yeah, she was like, I don't know.
Oversight.
I know. Like, geez, this guy's a mess.
And one of the things I forgot is Freddy is not on screen very much in this one.
No, he's not.
It's like the first Friday the 13th, but like even Halloween, you see a lot more of Michael Myers than you do. Freddy just pops up a couple of times. Most of the things that happen are these big effects set pieces.
Right.
And we know.
And we got. That's what we got to talk about last. I mean, we got to.
Yeah.
The visual effects, the practical effects. I don't know if you ever saw the behind-the-scenes stuff. You can see it on the DVDs.
Yeah, I got to watch that.
I mean, fascinating stuff. You know, where you know, I've always reveled in some of the kills that Tom Savini mastered in Friday the 13th.
Right.
And also, you know, in Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, I don't even know who did the practical effects for this, because I know it wasn't Stan Winston. It's not Savini.
Yeah, I think it was New Line's in-house people. I mean, New Line basically...
They were making Camp and Hort.
New Line would have gone out of business if this hadn't have been a hit, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, they were saved by this.
Did they make his Last House on the Left? I think they made a bunch of his.
I think they did,
And Hills Have Eyes. That is them.
Yeah, so it must have been their people.
That was their guy.
Yeah. But yeah, the effects are amazing, particularly are we worried about spoiling Nightmare on Elm Street?
Let's just
say the Johnny Depp scene. And if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about. That's unbelievable.
Oh, it's incredible.
I mean, that's... And like, you leaned over to me and said, hey, this is, you know, this is how they did that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had been sitting there thinking, I wonder if that's how they did that. Right?
Yeah, they just made a bedroom and flipped it upside down and put a tank of blood above it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Let's.
They said they hot glued everything down.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's it's perfect. I mean, that's so memorable. The first one is so memorable. The sequence leading up to the first kill is perfect in the alley behind their house.
That first kill.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're throwing her all over the room.
Yeah.
And there's blood everywhere. It's like, holy shit, this is for real.
Let's briefly go through the franchise after this. Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. Great. Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. The one where the screenwriter wrote it about a teenager struggling with his sexuality, and no one making the movie knew that, but you can definitely tell watching it. Very campy. That's when Freddy started to become a little bit of a cartoon character.
Right.
But okay.
And I think maybe those sequels probably when I at you know, because obviously when it came out in 84, I was 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think those sequels ruined it for me.
That you could know? Be it.
Because
it was because a much different thing later on.
Like the Friday the 13th and the Halloween sequels, they don't
get
like they okay, you can't say they get worse.
Yeah.
But I think they don't get they don't change their image as much
as
Freddy did.
That's true.
So that's why I kind of the first one lost it on me.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors.
I think it's hysterical.
This is the really crazy, over-the-top, campy one
that
is definitely worth watching. Because Wes Craven directed it.
Yeah.
And it's got a good cast. Patricia Arquette and Lawrence Fishburne are in it.
It's also this is near and dear, close to my heart. It makes me laugh. One of my favorite things is the kid. You know the kid that plays like the hip black kid.
Yeah,
he's really good, but also terrible.
Yeah,
because I laugh every time they cast like this like. This like gay musical theater kid to play this tough street kid.
Yeah.
And he's not good at it. And it makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to be this like tough street kid. Mm-hmm. But then he also is like, I'm like, did he just click his heels? Like what?
Right. No.
Like, what? Did he just like step ball change?
That movie is wall to wall ridiculousness.
Oh, it's so nuts.
Beginning to end. Now, 1988 and 1989, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child, those are just boring. Those are hard to get through.
No,
he's really become ridiculous, but these aren't even fun campy. They're
and
the
special effects are turning into, like, trauma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare in 1991. Again, really stupid, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Roseanne and Tom Arnold have a cameo.
Yep.
But there's enough, like... like that one, like get drunk and put on, and you'll still have a good time. Wes Craven's New Nightmare in 1994. A lot of people like that a lot. A lot of people say that's good. We were just talking about it again. Then there was a 9-year break before Freddy versus Jason,
which I was so excited for.
Look, it's not great.
Well, I will say
it's Robert Englund, and I think it's Kane Hodder, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, it isn't?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I will say, though, Freddy did make an appearance in Jason Goes to Hell.
Yes.
Jason, that's pretty much Friday the 13th, part 9.
Yeah, they set that up.
Yeah, without spoiling, Freddy does make a brief appearance at the end.
And finally, and we'll get out of here in a second, but give me your thoughts on the remake from 2010. Because people go a lot of different directions with this one.
I enjoyed it as a horror fan.
Yes.
I was fine with it, and I was satisfied about probably spending ten bucks on it. I thought Jacker or Haley was pretty good.
You know, I don't know that. I mean, that's one of those iconic characters.
Sure.
That the performance made the character.
But you still got to judge it.
That said,
right?
There's no one who I would have rather been the new Freddy than Jackie Earle Haley. He did a good job.
They definitely went back to the darkness of, I feel like, the original. And didn't they cut all of the camp and went back to really like the idea and the darkness that Wes Craven really brought out in the original.
Yeah.
I really do think that.
Yes.
And they did a fine job.
And Rooney Mara was a great, main girl. Connie Britton was really good as her mother.
I liked her a lot.
It's a different kind of thing than the Freddy you're used to and the Nightmare on Elm Street you're used to. It's not when you sit down and think, oh, I want to watch Nightmare on Elm Street, there's never a question which version is better or which version
Absolutely.
You're going to prefer. But for like a fun night at the theater when it came out in 2010, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hope that we see it again. That's the weird thing right now where, in the midst of all of the nostalgia that's going on in the movie industry, They can't get another Friday the 13th going. The Nightmare on Elm Street, nothing has happened in 7 years now.
John Carpenter is making, in his view, Halloween 3. This is after the hospital.
That's interesting.
I'm very excited.
I hope that kicks off a little run of more, you know, more of going back to some of, you know, the what made the 80s films good.
And if you're a real fan, I mean, there hasn't been a Friday the 13th for a couple years, but there's a new Friday the 13th game.
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter about that.
Incredible that Tom Savini was the creative consultant on.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. So if you need a little Friday the 13th fix, go check that out.
Oh, speaking of him, we'll talk about this for like 2 minutes and then go.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street, 10. I love it. It gets a 10. Would you're not going to give it a 10?
Yeah, no, I would give it a 10. No.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay.
The innovation and the creativity that Wes Craven brought is fascinating. Hey, little quick, can I give you a little
yeah.
I noticed this in the movie before we get out of here, guys.
Okay, we got like 7 things we got to do and then we'll get out of here.
Oh, really, do we?
Oh, I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay. One of my favorite film actors, favorite film character actors makes a little cameo in this, Lin Shaye.
Never noticed it.
Yeah, I know. I never noticed that either, and I was super excited. Lin Shaye plays the medium, Elise in Insidious. She's also Magda and There's Something About Mary. You know who she is.
Yeah, I was
fantastic
excited.
Fantastic character actor.
I was excited to see her in Nightmare on Elm Street. That said, the Insidious 4 trailer looks horrible. Like,
Sean, I know.
Horrible.
I mean, but listen, but here's the thing. Every time I mention Insidious, people will go, Insidious 3 was garbage. Okay.
Let's just
look at what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
We're talking about franchises like Friday the 13th.
Right.
And Halloween.
Right.
And A Nightmare on Elm Street. First one or two were amazing.
Yeah, usually.
Insidious 1 and 2, in my eyes, are some of the best horror movies ever made. James Wan's incredible.
We keep forgetting to plug our lives. Hey, if you're listening to this on Friday the 27th, tonight I will be performing at PNC Park, guys.
That's cool.
The Atria's restaurant inside PNC Park. Yes, you can get there from the street. Don't worry about it. Just go. myself, Colin Chamberlain, and John Evans.
Cool.
Tonight, 8 p.m. Tomorrow night in Myersdale, PA. November 11th, the final DVE Loaded show of the year. Cool. Get your tickets now. ClubCafeLive.com. Huge lineup. Bill Crawford, Jeff Conkle, many, many more. And Aaron, you're in Erie, and where are you coming up in November?
I'm going to be on a Norwegian cruise line for about 16 days entertaining children.
Hey, if you need a last minute...
parents and teenagers who are bored.
You can't book cruises last minute, can you?
Unless you're balling.
You mentioned Tom Savini. That's the last thing I want to talk about before I get out of here.
I love it.
You know what? So last week was Romero week at Row House Cinemas.
Yeah.
And
I'm always mad I missed that.
And Mary Beth and I were like, but we were both very busy. We had like one window where we could get to the theater.
Yeah.
So like, all right, we're going. What's playing? Knight Riders is playing.
Yes.
And
you went?
Yes. We went and saw Knight Riders. My favorite moment was sitting there and being, you know, sitting there, and we've been in there for an hour, hour 20, like that, and thinking, oh, they got to be about done with this.
Yeah.
And then I pulled up IMDb on my phone, and I was like, no, there's another hour plus to this movie. That movie is
2.5 hours.
Infinite. That is a 2.5 hour movie about Renaissance Festival knights jousting on motorcycles, if you haven't seen it. And here's the weird thing.
I haven't seen that probably since 1995.
Here's the weird thing. It's kind of good.
I remember enjoying it a little bit.
It is
I think I played that on my BMX bikes with my brothers for the next month.
Oh, yeah. It's goddamn ridiculous every minute, including, like, you never really understand why any of them give a shit.
Okay.
Like, it's picture a movie about, like, a touring rock band that's on the edge of breaking up.
Yeah.
And that that being a long movie about the drama and the infighting, only it's not a rock band. It's people who joust on motorcycles for hillbillies.
Yeah.
And it's not a comedy.
No.
Like, there's a couple laughs in it, but it's like a weird slice of life drama about a slice of life that doesn't exist. And it's kinda good. I think
this alone we're going to release as a podcast just called Sean on Knight Riders.
I think watch it. And Tom Savini in that, I'm like, how did he not become a leading man forever? Like, he has this luxurious hair and flowing 80s mustache.
Very Zardoz.
And he's right? Yeah. And he's, like, charming and, like, smarmy. Yeah. And watch Nightmare on Elm Street if you want, but definitely watch Knight Riders.
Sean just climaxed over Knight Riders.
Yeah.
A little bit, you did.
Yeah. Oh, the scene where they steal the thing back from the guy and he goes driving through all the signs and then hits the side of a barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you're so excited about Knight Riders.
Knight Riders, man.